Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown, where we dive deep into the latest corporate results. I'm Alex, and joining me, as always, is Jordan. Today, we're unpacking Pfizer's first quarter 2026 earnings call, and folks, there's quite a bit to unpack here. Before we dive in, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And what a quarter this was for Pfizer. They really came out swinging with some impressive numbers and some game-changing legal developments. Should we start with the headline figures?
Absolutely. Pfizer reported first quarter revenues of $14.5 billion, which actually exceeded their own expectations. That's a 2% operational increase overall, but here's the kicker. If you strip out their COVID products, the underlying business grew about 7% operationally. That's solid growth in a challenging environment.
And the earnings story is even better. They hit 75 cents in adjusted diluted earnings per share, again, beating expectations. What really caught my attention, though, was their launched and acquired products. These grew 22% operationally to $3.1 billion in the quarter. That's the portfolio transformation strategy Albert Bourla has been talking about really starting to pay off.
Speaking of transformative developments, we need to talk about the elephant in the room, or should I say, the legal victories in the room. Pfizer had two major legal wins that could reshape their entire growth trajectory post-2028.
Right, the Vyndamax patent settlement is huge. This drug, which treats a rare heart condition, was facing generic competition, but now Pfizer has extended exclusivity until mid-2031. We're talking about a $6 billion-plus product here, Alex. CEO Albert Bourla said this has the potential to change the growth profile of the company significantly post-2028.
And then there's the Belgian court ruling on their Comirnaty contracts with EU countries. CFO Dave Denton called this a positive for future EPS and cash flow. These aren't just minor legal technicalities. These are major financial game changers that give Pfizer much clearer visibility into their cash flows.
Which brings us to one of the most interesting parts of the call, Pfizer's new confidence about their post-2028 growth trajectory. Bourla said they now expect a five-year period of high single-digit revenue CAGR, starting in 2029. That's a pretty bold statement, especially when you consider they're still navigating some significant patent cliff challenges.
Let's break that down for listeners. CAGR stands for compound annual growth rate. So Pfizer is essentially saying that starting in 2029, they expect to grow revenues at a high single-digit percentage rate, so probably 7 to 9% annually for five straight years. That would be impressive for any pharma company, let alone one coming off the COVID revenue peaks.
And the foundation for that confidence seems to be their pipeline and their recent acquisitions. They mentioned having about 20 pivotal study starts planned this year, 8 key data readouts, and 4 regulatory decisions. That's a packed R&D calendar. They're particularly excited about their oncology portfolio, especially after the Seagen acquisition.
The oncology story is fascinating. They reported 20% year-over-year growth in their Seagen products, and they've got some potentially blockbuster readouts coming. There's Padcev for bladder cancer, which affects over 600,000 patients globally, and their multiple myeloma drug Elrexfio just hit positive phase 3 results.
Don't forget about the obesity play with their Metsera acquisition. They're planning 10 phase 3 studies this year and targeting their first approval in 2028. Chris Boshoff mentioned they're developing ultra-long-acting peptides that could potentially offer monthly dosing. In a market where Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk are dominating with weekly shots, monthly dosing could be a real differentiator.
Now, during the Q&A, there were some interesting exchanges about capital allocation. An analyst asked about share buybacks, and CFO Denton said that with the improved cash flow visibility from these legal wins, share repurchases will come back into greater consideration going forward. That's music to income-focused investors' ears.
Especially since they reaffirmed their commitment to maintaining and growing their dividend over time. Bourla was pretty emphatic about this, saying the improved cash flow visibility is a positive for our longer-term capital allocation priorities, including, of course, our ability to preserve and support the dividend.
Speaking of guidance, they maintained their full-year 2026 outlook, $59.50 to $62.50 billion in revenues and $2.80 to $3 per share in adjusted earnings. But here's what I found interesting. Denton said if it weren't for the back half weighting of their COVID products, they probably would have raised guidance after this strong first quarter.
That suggests they're being conservative, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. They're also dealing with some near-term headwinds. Paxlovid usage remains low with sustained low COVID disease levels, and most Comirnaty sales are expected toward year-end during vaccination season.
One thing that stood out to me was how they're positioning themselves for the AI revolution. Borla talked about embedding the use of artificial intelligence across our company as a key strategic priority. They're using AI in drug discovery, development, manufacturing, and commercial operations. Given Pfizer's vast repository of clinical data, this could be a real competitive advantage.
And let's not forget the organizational changes. They've streamlined their executive team, reducing it by 4 members over 2 years. Business development now reports to their chief scientific officer, which makes sense since most BD activities are R&D related now. It's all about simplification and reducing friction.
So what's the bottom line for investors? Pfizer seems to be successfully executing their post-COVID transformation strategy. The 22% growth in launched and acquired products shows their portfolio diversification is working. The legal wins provide significant cash flow visibility and growth runway, and their pipeline looks robust with multiple shots on goal.
But there are still risks to consider. They're still navigating patent cliffs through 2028. Though Borla noted the total LOE exposure is now closer to $14 to $15 billion rather than the previously cited $17 billion, thanks to the Vyndamax extension. And execution risk remains high with so many pipeline programs advancing simultaneously.
The obesity opportunity is intriguing, but highly competitive. Success there isn't guaranteed, even with their differentiated approach. And while their AI initiatives sound promising, translating that into measurable business impact will take time.
Overall, though, this feels like a company that's found its footing after the COVID windfall years. They're being disciplined about capital allocation, strategic about their R&D investments, and realistic about their near-term challenges while building toward what they believe will be a strong growth period starting in 2029.
And with a dividend yield still attractive and management's commitment to maintaining it, Pfizer might appeal to both income and growth investors willing to be patient through the transition period.
Before we wrap up, I want to remind everyone that everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions.
That's a wrap on Pfizer's first quarter 2026 earnings. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. We'll be back with more AI-powered earnings analysis soon. Until then, keep those portfolios diversified and those research skills sharp.
See you next time, everyone.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.